that for the sake of this story, of this tale, I have to do I have to pronounce the hoary old canard. I have to begin at the beginning. September 15th, 2004, I attended what was called a student activities fair at DePaul University's Loop campus. Now, you must understand that the Loop campus is open, is an open campus. It's open to everyone. So that means that people from the street can come there, students, faculty, people who are just interested. And I came to this function simply as an interested observer. I did not at any time during the conversation or during this particular meeting identify myself as a university faculty member until the very, very end when I was asked to do so by one of the students. So I went to various tables there. There were language tables, French and German clubs and so forth, and two of the tables particularly caught my eye. One of them was Students for Justice in Palestine, and the other was United Muslims Moving Ahead. The two tables were contiguous one to another. The Students for Justice in Palestine table had a brochure on it. On the front was what appeared to be an Israeli bulldozer, apparently demolishing some homes. So I took the brochure and began to read it, and there were a number of other mistruths, non-truths, and outright lies about Israel and the position of the Middle East in the brochure. I attempted to have a conversation then with the students at Students for Justice in Palestine, and they numbered four at the table. As I recall, two of them were converts to Islam. The first point that I made was, number one, as a Christian, I said that the Christian viewpoint in the Middle Eastern conflict is often ignored or even downplayed, despite the fact that Christians have, in fact, predated Islam in the Middle East by at least 8 or 9 centuries. Number two, I made the point that the term Palestinian is, up until the time 1948, was in fact a generic term, not an ethnic one, that referred to any inhabitant of those territories, whether Muslim, Jew, or Christian, and that only after the accession of Yasser Arafat's Palestinian Liberation Organization relocating from Tunis to Ramallah on the West Bank did the term come to be, after about 30 years, come to be identified with a specific Arab ethnic group. But I did tell them that many Jewish people in Chicago that I've met refer to themselves as Palestinian. Many Christian people also refer to themselves from that area as Palestinian. Well, one of the students at that point rose up from the table, and she told me, and she told the others in front of me too, that Israel is treating the Palestinian people, quote unquote, the same way that Hitler treated the Jews. At that point, I became really quite perplexed and angry, and I reminded her that there is a qualitative difference between the Israeli army targeting known terrorists, people who have killed their own people, and suicide bombers targeting beaches, cafes, and even Seder dinners, killing indiscriminately Israelis, both Jew and Arab alike. I also quoted from the Al Arabiya newspaper when I said, not all Muslims are terrorists, but regrettably, the vast majority of terrorists operating in the world today happen to be Muslims. At that point, the Students for Justice in Palestine at this one table were then joined by their cohorts from UMA, the United Muslims Moving Ahead, and so I had 8 students against 1. The conversation became heated. It became louder because it was harder for me to hear as the students were making various kinds of comments, but I can assure you that there was no shoving, there were no obscene gestures, as later reported by the students. And as I saw that the conversation was going nowhere, but that I was just simply getting nowhere in terms of a rational and dignified and civil conversation, I started to leave. At that point, and only at that point, one of the students asked me if I had any connection to the university. And I said, I do. Now, later the student said that I had identified myself as a university professor. If I had done so, logically, why would they have asked me after the conversation were over? I mean, they need to take a refresher in Logic 101, it seems to me. They asked me for my name, and I gave it. They asked me where I taught, and I told them I taught at the School for New Learning. And at that point, I simply left. Now, it's important also to realize that I've never had any of these students before or since in any of my classes, and that this entire event took place outside of any classroom environment. I was not engaging the students as a teacher. I had come as a citizen, as an informed citizen, and there were no threats of any kind, either verbal or physical, against any of them. It took 9 days, but it was 9 days later that the dean of the School for New Learning, Suzanne Dumbleton, called me into her office. She apparently had...
D-U-M-B, by the way.
Yes, D-U-M-B, yes. Thank you, Richard, right? Dumbleton. Others have made that point too, by the way, Richard, so you're not the only one. Suzanne Dumbleton called me into her office, and she had apparently two letters in hand. I've never seen the letters. I don't know what they said exactly, but she apparently read from them, and she said that the students that I had engaged in that conversation were hurt and crushed, quote unquote, by my engagement with them, that I had attempted to impose my views as a professor on these students, and that I had violated the Vincentian values of toleration of the university. Now, I've never seen those letters personally. Now, one of the things that I had offered to do, as I've offered to do in the past, I offered to meet with the students to conciliate this matter. The dean refused. She said that I was too passionate about the subject, and in fact, she had told me that the very day before my meeting with her, she had met with the students and their Muslim faculty advisors, and they had in fact, I think, had in fact concocted these letters and these sort of charges against me. She also further advised that I not contact the school newspaper. She said that the School for New Learning would in fact provide the information necessary in this particular case. She also informed me that I was to be suspended for the remainder of the autumn quarter, that was the second week of the autumn quarter, and that further teaching assignments for me would be decided upon an investigation of the quote-unquote incident. Now, remember, I've never received written charges. The faculty handbook of DePaul states that the suspension of any faculty member, full-time, tenured, adjunct, should take place only after a formal academic hearing. To date, I have received nor been offered none. October 1st, 2005, an article appeared in the DePaulia school newspaper without any input from me, but with input plenty from the students. There were serious inaccuracies in that article. I was quoted 3 times, although no one at our conversation had taken any notes that I could see. But the students have freely used this article to advance their own political agenda. October 8th, 1 week later, the dean apologized on behalf of the School for New Learning and the department for the incident. She apologized, and she stated in the apology that no professor has a right to impose his quote-unquote erroneous assertions on students. Now, The school has maintained from the beginning that they are not suspending me or censuring me for my conduct, but I'm sorry, not for the content of my talk, but rather for the conduct that I displayed, shouting and treating the students badly and so forth and so on. But when I looked up the definition of assertions in the dictionary, assertions have something to do with content, not with conduct. So the dean was, in fact, accusing me of making false assertions, and some of those assertions would be what? A false assertion about the term Palestinian, a false assertion about the term, about the way Christians have been treated, a false assertion about the way the Israelis have treated the Palestinians the same way that Hitler treated the Jews. I was never really clear about what she meant there. So she also advised me to stay off the campus until further notice. And I had been worshiping at the DePaul campus chapel for 5 years, pretty much on a daily basis until that time. So effectively, she was barring me from religious services at a Catholic university because of my supposed treatment of some Muslim students. October the 15th, 1 week later, Salma Nasser, the head of the Students for Justice in Palestine, in the school newspaper, called for my permanent termination, not only from the DePaul faculty, but from all university faculties, because of the content of my views. She used that term, views. Again, it comes down to content, not conduct. She said I was disrespectful of Islam, that I was a religious bigot. Later, October the 5th, she sent out or rather 10 days before that, on October 5th, she sent out an email to Muslim organizations throughout the country stating that Thomas Klocek was, in fact, a religious bigot and disrespectful of Islam. November the 10th, 8 weeks after my suspension by the university, Dean Dumbleton finally sent me a letter in which she outlined the conditions for my reinstatement at the university. I was to teach, instead of 2 classes in the winter and 2 in the spring, as had been promised in the printed faculty book, I was to teach only 1 class in the springtime, provided that I acceded to having a monitor in my classroom to monitor my behavior, quote unquote. Now, after 14 years of teaching, after a sterling reputation there, after having collected over 1,100 of the students, evaluations of my conduct, and I was able to get those by the Freedom of Information Act. I have a stack of them at home about this tall. After all of that, I was told that because of a 15-minute conversation in which the university did not participate, in which no one at the university was a witness, I was being treated in this rather humiliating fashion. Now, in late January, my financial situation became more and more acute. And finally, I decided to go to the dean and to speak with her, at least, about this situation. And she told me in that meeting, it was a personal meeting, she said she was glad that I came, but that it was not enough now. The conditions have, in fact, changed. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, the students have gone to the president of the university, Reverend Dennis Holtschneider. And I knew exactly what that meant. The students then demanded an apology from me for my behavior and my conduct. So the goalposts of the game had changed. I had come very reluctantly to offer a conditional sort of acceptance of the humiliating circumstances, and that was not enough. It was decided that the goalposts had changed and that I was going to have to accede to a public apology to the students. At that point, then I decided to engage in a legal disputation. I, in fact, talked to Mr. Mauck from Mauck and Baker, and the rest, of course, is what we're doing now. But the issues here are the following. The issues are very clear. I had no hearing directly contrary to the established procedures in the DePaul Faculty Handbook. Number two, I've never had an opportunity to confront my accusers. Number three, I've never received written charges. Number four, this is not about conduct, it is about content. Number five, my 14-year career of academic excellence at that school was washed away by my defense of the truth in the Middle East. My personal and professional reputation have been sullied and damaged by an agenda-driven group of students who have maligned me both in print and in email. Apparently, free speech is a one-way street at DePaul University and at other places. I shall leave you with one quote. A Roman Catholic scholar of the 19th century, Cardinal John Henry Newman, in his tract, The Idea of a University, speaks of a university as a place where ideas are discussed freely in an unfettered environment with the idea of seeking the truth. Where has DePaul lost its way? Where has it lost its very purpose as a university? How can it call itself a university after this incident? Thank you.